So he wanted me to take you tonight. And I wouldn't have done this. I'd have ran it the way I wanted to. He wanted me to take you into some petitional prayer. And in doing so, to teach you some things about your own soul. See, my spirit can march right in to the holiest of holies. Right into his prayer. I'm there. And sometimes there's some things with your soul that's it doesn't like to go in there. So let me teach you some things about what your soul needs to be doing for answered prayer. See? Now, when I want edification, I pray in tongues. But when I want presence, I worship. Wherever I am, doesn't matter. I can get presence just by worshiping. Edification is the process the Holy Spirit uses through prayer to transform you. Through the Word of God. Cause you to understand it. But worship, you know, worship when I want presence. Edification is different. That's a process. But when I want presence. With edification, I don't necessarily feel things from time to time. Sometimes I do. And other times I go a season of time in a prayer vigil that I don't feel much. Just the string of tongues comes out of me. I just lay there and pray. It's not any less effective whether you're feeling anything or not. That's not what it's determined by. Edification's a process. Sometimes you can feel it when it's going on. Sometimes you cannot. It's a building up on your most holy faith, first from your inside outward to eventually dominate your soul. That I can teach you some things about your soul that will assist the climb of the Holy Spirit, see. Will assist His working with you. If He can get you to cooperate with Him, it'll speed the process of transformation up. Hallelujah, Jesus. So let's begin here with the 17th verse and then put a marker in Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll be over there in a moment. And notice 17. Now, for your information, my lightning quick mind clave to the understanding of 17 through 20 in a mere 20 years. So give me 15 minutes. Wherefore, Ephesians 5 and 17, wherefore, in conclusion or based on the things he said to this point, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Some of you know a little about that. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on to tell you how. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Should we give thanks to Jesus and the Father God? Well, yes, giving thanks always for all things unto God and then the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. And notice here it says, and giving thanks for all things. All things. For the cancer that's ravaging my body, for the car wreck that broke my back and I can't preach anymore, and for the big cataract that blacked my eye out. Give thanks for all things. After all, you know, He can do what He wants. So that's where people get doctrines like that, from reading verses like this one. Giving thanks for all things. For all things. You see, he says, be not unwise concerning what the will of the Lord is. See, and I know what the will of the Lord is. I know what it is concerning healing. I know what it is concerning righteousness. I know what it is concerning prosperity. So he says, be not unwise concerning the will of the Lord. So the thanks that I'm giving must be for the things contained within the will of the Lord. Lord, yet I thank you for healing me. Lord God, I thank You. My name's written in heaven, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank You for answered prayer. I thank You for all these things. But then it seems like He said a couple of verses that really didn't make much sense. Whenever you're reading along with your carnal mind and all of a sudden you read something that throws you in a ditch, that usually has the most in it. How do you know? Because you didn't understand it. He says, all of this, and be not drunk on wine wherein is excess. But then He gives you an alternative. But be you drunk on the Spirit. He not only gives you the alternative, but He goes on to tell you how. Ministering to yourself, ministering to yourself, ministering to yourself, yourself. You're ministering to yourself. You're the receptor, ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things that are contained within His will. So not only does He say, don't be drunk on wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, you know how most of us preachers have used those verses. Whenever I've been falling down, staggering drunk. Guy gets falling down drunk, you know. And the saints go, my God, he's drunk on the new wine. I said, oh yeah, I got my own stash. You're staggering around praying for people and they're staggering around. You look half drunk and somebody carries, well, he's drunk on the new wine. Said, you bet, squeezed out by the elders during prayer. Elderberry wine. So that's how we use that for years. But actually the subject is ministering to your own soul in thanksgiving for answered prayer. Now, in case you think the confessions that you're making in the psalms and hymns in thanksgiving for answer to prayer, in case you're thinking that hasn't to do with the senses, it does. And in case you're thinking that your confession was designed to move God, wrong. He already completed the answer to your prayer 2,000 years ago. He's not the problem. He wanted to answer it when you thought it. Was my confession moving God? He's not stuck. That's why He said ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and miracles. So the subject of this was the senses. Was the senses. How do you know? Because He said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess. And when a guy in the world is drinking on wine, what part of him becomes intoxicated? What part of him is affected if not his physical senses? Here's this little guy, it looks like Wally Cox, you know. He goes in a bar and five tequilas later, he thinks he's John Wayne. He's going to go down and whip Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of the bar. Well, his senses have failed him. He's about to find out they're not representing things in the true light they exist in. So he's going to go down and whip Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's going to get whipped himself. See, because his senses are not capable any longer and evaluating things in the true light they exist in, because they have come under subjection to intoxication. So he's not evaluating things anymore. And see, that's what the world does to escape their problems. They go to the bottle and drown them so they can face each day. But he said, look, you don't have to do that. You see, you can turn to the Holy Ghost and bring your senses so under subjection to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit that now you're thinking about the problem the same way God thinks about it. You're not reasoning like the world is anymore. I've seen those Vietnam vets. In fact, My tour with Vietnam was a cruise through Formosa Straits, and they shot some shells over our ship. Anyway. Some vets have never recovered. Vietnam was horrible. You crawl in through the sweaty, humid, never knowing. And somebody's just 4 feet away. He's going to put a bullet in you and you live. Like that from moment to moment. And most people's systems aren't designed to take that. Plus, coming home to an appreciative America. You know, you just can't know what that would do to a guy. So many of them have given up. They're in institutions. They can't function. And many that aren't in institutions, they're alcoholics. And sometimes you run into them in gutters. Mister, can you give me a couple of dollars? I'm awful hungry. Oh, I know your game. I'm going to go down and buy you food because I know you're just going to get a bottle of wine. He said, all right, you caught me. I'm a Vietnam vet. He said, they sent kids into the camp with grenades and they blew up in front of us. I seen the little skeletons glow on the horizon just before the phosphorus bomb melted them down. I seen atrocities that human beings did to each other in torture. I got tortured. If I don't keep my senses sedated with wine, if I sober up, I'll commit suicide. Because I can't take it. See, the way your soul's designed, it'll transform to cause you to survive in your surroundings. If you don't speak the language, throw you in a country with no translator, and your soul will transform you to that language without you even trying. You'll eventually just begin to speak it. If you hang around television all day when you're dying of a disease, you'll transform to what that's saying. And your soul has the power to transform you to what you give yourself to the most. That's the way it operates. That's why he says, look, the world has to sedate their senses to survive. But you don't have to. You can minister to your own self. Minister to your own soul in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because there's a place with me in my presence where your senses can so come under the subjection of the Word of God that you need no outside evidence that you're healed. You need no outside stabilization for your emotions to know that you've received your miracle. Because the Holy Spirit can assist you so much of bringing your senses so under subjection to the Word of God. That you'll be healed, see. Now here's where some of our problems come in. Some of us have children that were born. We call them special children. You know, we try to make them comfortable in a world that's not fair to them. It's just not fair. They don't have the same start out of a gate that you have. Nevertheless, like Mary, Betty Baxter, she realized her covenant. We do have a covenant. We do have a covenant. And it's the church that's failed them. And when mom and daddy grows up, every day they bathe, every day. It's nothing like your lifestyle. Nothing at all. Until their senses are so programmed with the problem. That you need more than a pat on the back. You need more than keep your confession up, brother. You need to enter into a relationship with the Father in such a way that your emotions will undergo a transformation until your hope can receive the substance of faith and you come out of that thing with a miracle. Will it happen? Yes. He said, ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. What would you do, Brother Roberson? Let me capsulize it for a moment. See, I have my covenant. I believe what God said. If it's not working, I can't just stand there and dance around it. I don't know what it is. Is the teacher in me? Am I normal? Am I not normal? What's wrong with me? I just can't dance around my covenant and watch kids grow up sick in my church. If it's real, then I'm going to quit dancing around it. I'm going to dive right in the middle of it and find out what he said. I'm just not going to put up with it. If this gospel's only for you good-looking people that drive Lexuses, sit in restaurants, and buy steaks, and I don't want it. Talk how good God is to you. Those kids got a covenant. So I said, what's the problem? You become so transformed with the problem that you can't see the answer. It's before you every day. It's literally strung your senses out. What am I going to do? You're going to have to go into God and give him equal time. What would you do, Brother Roberson? Let me get tough. My son, daughter, if I was in this situation, I'm hypothetically speaking, but not for a lot of people. It's a stark raven reality. What would you do, Brother Roberson? I'll tell you what I'd do. I think my stubborn streak's wide enough and my God's alive enough. I tell you what I'd do. At a big fat house with a swimming pool and a Lexus, I'd go sell it. I'd get an apartment, put my wife in one bedroom, my son or whoever in the other that needed the miracle. And I'd put the money in the bank, buy me a little Volkswagen to drop around town in. Then I'd take that money and I'd go get her some groceries and pay the rent. Then I'd report to the prayer closet at 6 o'clock every morning and I'd worship God and minister to my own soul 10 or 12 hours a day. I don't care. I want my boy back. Well, how would you worship him? What would you do? He said, giving thanks. Oh, I'd get the psalms and the hymns and all the verses out that describe the victory. I may spend 4 hours just telling him how much I love him first. And then get the word out pertaining to him. And for the next 7 hours, I would worship him and thank him that my boy is healed because he's not a man that he can lie. What if you run out of money? By then I'd have formed a tax-free incorporation and took some time to raise some money, put it in the bank and bought groceries and went on with it. When you have a petition that you want to present before him, how do you approach him? But I can tell you, you'd learn if you locked yourself up that many days. But if I was to teach you to present a petition in the next 30 minutes, how would you do it? So many of you, you quit bothering to petition God or pray about things. You just kind of exist with him. You know, I love God. I love him. But some of us get so wore out by things that we can't really remember the last time. We could swear by God that he answered the prayer. We had to make up things like he knows things better than I do, so he let this happen instead of what I wanted to. What, you know, I don't describe most of the Bible. If some of us was indicted by God for answered prayer, he probably couldn't convict us. You had to get the muddy part out, clear things up. Learn how to operate. Why do you sit there and let things go by? If I want to present my soul, that's the part of me that's conscience. It's my intellect. It's my mind. It's my will. It's my emotions. It's the part that's radiating out of me. It's the part that you know. If I'm going to present that part before God, how am I going to do it? How am I going to tell him what I want and know that I have it? So I'm going to present this part. I think we've become so disrespectful, like the one man. Oh, God, bless this meal, and pretty soon, you know,
bless it.
And pretty soon,
it's blessed.
And pretty soon, you know. You're not only serving a king, but you're serving a redeemer. You're not only serving a God, but you're serving your Father. Try to have some respect. How would you enter in? Oh, I can show you. This is the part that's unusual, because then we're going to do it. And I want you to start thinking right now, and I can tell you where his heart is. I want you to get a one flesh. That would be your mother, your father, your sisters, your brother, your husband, your wife, or your children. Very rarely that they all saved. I want you to get a one flesh out. Get some one flesh out in your mind. I want you to get ready to petition. You have that person in your heart and ready to give them over to God when we get to that part. So start thinking. Now, if I can so subject my senses to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, if He can assist me to do this, and I will receive answered prayer. You say the thing this side of hell the devil could do to stop it. So go to Matthew 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is anybody having as good a time as I am? Oh, yeah. You could hear a mouse stomp through here. You'd think it was an elephant. Let's begin with the seventh verse when he is teaching them how to pray. Well, let's read six. But thou, sixth verse, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in the closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And the Father seeth in secret, he rewards thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And he was speaking of chanting, and that's the way cults get demon-possessed. He didn't want them to carry that over to Christianity. He's your Father. You're his Son. It is not that kind of relationship. Hallelujah, Jesus. So he says, don't use vain repetition. See? As the eighth verse says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. See, he knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. So if he knows what you have need of before you ask him, then it must not be so much the need as how you're approaching him to ask him. It must not be the need as much as the condition of your heart and what's present in you. That's why he went on to teach protocol, how to enter the presence of your king. Now, he knows what you have need of before you enter in. So what are you going to slip over on him that he doesn't already know? So that's why he went on to say these very words. Notice, after this manner, therefore, verse 9, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Then, of course, we'll come back. Then, of course, your prayer must be based on the Word of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. That scripture that says, whatsoever things you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What it's saying is, whatever the cross has bound in heaven, you can bind in heaven. Whatever it's loosed on earth, you can loose on earth. And it must be based on the Word. You cannot get ridiculous. He said, your prayer must be, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. For we know what His will is because He sent His Word here to tell us what His will is in heaven. I have His Word and I know what His will is in heaven concerning my healing. So my petition must be based on the Word of God. It must be. Then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. That isn't that you get up every day and beg God or have to tell Him to give you your daily food supply or it won't come in. This was a statement of worship. This was a statement of worship. Give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because you're hallowed. You're my Father who knows what I have need of before I ever approached you. So I want to thank you for being my supplier and for the daily bread that you have promised me. Every need I have today has been supplied. My God. This is what makes it all work and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. In fact, he said a little bit more about that in the 14th verse when he finished the prayer. You see, this prayer won't work. He knows what you have need of before you enter his presence. But if you don't walk in forgiveness and forgive debts as he's forgiven you, then you just leave the prayer off. Just forget it. Without protocol, it's not going to work. And then he said in 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It actually says, lead us around temptations, testings, and trials, and deliver us from the snares of the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And he reiterated on that one statement, because this is most important for petitional prayer. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father, he'll not forgive you. It's not that he doesn't know what you have need of. It's how are you presenting yourself. See, those first four things he mentioned about forgiveness and worshiping him for being your Father and your supplier. See, for praying according to his word, for entering his presence with respect. Hallowed be thy name. It's those things present in your life that causes you to be led around the snares of the evil one. And if he can't use those attributes of human character, then he can't ensnare you. But then he had to reiterate again on forgiveness. It just don't work. Somebody asked me the other day, they says, why can't he oversee unforgiveness with grace? Why is it so devastating? I said, because it's the violation of the very grace you were born again by. When the man owed $20 million, he couldn't. His master was going to sell him and his family to pay the debt. And he begged and he forgave and loosed him. That was the kind of debt that Adam put the human race in. And Jesus, quite frankly, the Father forgave us. Absolutely forgave us and loosed us from the debt. And the same man grabbed a man by the throat and choked him over a $20 debt. And called him a brother. What he was saying, just your forgiveness alone from that monumental debt that could not be paid. Not by a servant of sin. Could not be paid by the servant. Could not. He loosed and forgave. That alone, the grace of that is enough to cover every $20 debt you'll ever run into in this life dealing with other human beings. If you do not, as far as answered prayer is concerned, you violated the very unmeritable, unearnable. You did not deserve grace, which you were born again by when he loosed and forgave you. They came to Jesus in Matthew and asked him, who's the greatest in the kingdom? In other words, who is it that demands the most respect? Who does the angel salute? Who does heaven reverence? Who is greatest in the kingdom? Just like Jesus, he put a child, said you have to become like him. Or are they quick to forgive 100% teachable? That's why he said, you offend the little one that's come into the kingdom, you have to deal with me. He started the teaching on who's greatest in the kingdom. And he ended it with this statement. He says, and so shall you, that you'll be turned over to the tormentor. He'll take everything away from you. And so shall you who forgive not everyone his brother the trespasses from your heart. I'm not talking about your head. You're walking around talking that religious talk. I'm talking about with your heart. This is protocol. You're going to enter his presence with your soul. And he told you what makes petition work. I'm talking about with your heart. See, in that, he started with who's greatest in the kingdom, and he ended it with this verse. Who's esteemed the greatest and demands the most respect is a person who's made it to the place they have made it, where they literally are not talking plastic love, not because I have to, because he said I have to. That they have literally forgiven every brother whose trespasses against them from their heart, and this man is esteemed the greatest in the kingdom of God. So he reiterated on the forgiveness factor simply because your petitions won't work. So he knows you have need of things before you ever enter. So what you going to do? Sneak in and say, I need this and I need that. You think he doesn't know already? So if he already knows, what's the problem? That's why he taught you how to pray. He said, you enter in with hallowed be thy name. You show him the respect that when you bring your soul into his presence, come in with worship, see? Come in with worship. If I'm going to present the conscious part of me into his presence, then I want every part of me to pay attention. And for at least, I started doing this for 15 minutes first because I got wore out. I wasn't used to doing it. I had to learn how to present my soul. Now I get lost for hours. But if you're going to enter his presence correctly, please listen to these next 15 minutes. Oh, sure. You know, when you look up towards heaven and say in Jesus' name, that name gives you all redeemed rights. But there is a way to enter into the presence of your King. Believe me, he's worthy. And for the first 15 minutes, I'm going to come before him with holy is your name. Now, he's glad that I'm glad that devils are subject to me. But he said, I want you to rejoice first because your name's written in heaven. So I come before him, and he had to teach me how to do private worship. Now, thank God for public worship. But a cheerleader shouldn't have to lead you into worship. And if you won't go into worship unless somebody leads you in, you made the worship leader a cheerleader. It's a sad day when we don't enter in the privacy of our closet because we've fallen in love with him. So when I first started coming in to learn protocol, I felt real creepy because he knew that I had a petition at the end of the worship. And he knew what I had need of, and he knew what I was going to do. So you come in and go, wow, for this first 15 minutes, I just want to tell you how much I love you. I don't want to ask for nothing. I don't want nothing. I want to reverence your name. I just want to tell you how much I love you. That's all. And you feel kind of creepy because you know after 15 minutes or so that you're going to say, so you're thinking, yeah, God thinks I set him up so I can ask him for something. But see, you know he knows all that, so just be honest. Just be honest. He's answering the prayers of the guy at home, not the guy in church. The guy that screams at his wife, sits here and watches TV all day. That's how high your faith is. He's not answering the guy who stands there and looks real holy and goes, oh, how I love Jesus in church, and go home and screams at everybody and yells and rants and raves and doesn't do anything. That's the level you're walking. Since he already knows, come clean. So I said, Father, you know that I'm going to. You know what I'm going to do. So I need the Holy Spirit to teach me how to offer my soul in worship. And while I'm in your presence for these 15 minutes, there's no part of my soul, there's no part that I'm going to let get by without respecting my King. Not my intellect. Every second of this 15 minutes that I'm in his presence, it's not going to get by with it. My intellect's not going to get by with it. If it wants to wander, then between each pause of worship, I love you, Jesus. I won't say it again till I bring my mind back and make it empty itself into that sentence. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If my emotions stray, I bring them back. And I empty every part of me that's able to give. I love you, Jesus, into that statement. If my will wants to transfer me to something else, I'll go get it. I don't care if it takes a full 30 seconds before statements. There's no part of me not going to respect being in the presence of my King for those 15 minutes. So I had to pause between each statement, you know. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I glorify you. I worship you. I adore you. I just want to tell you how much I love you. I praise you. I magnify you. Thank you for saving me. After a while, the Holy Spirit rises up and goes on into your soul and starts anointing the attributes of the soul and brings you behind the veil of flesh. And He begins to present you in His presence. And buddy, that's when worship begins. You're inside. And that's where petition is heard. Glory be to God. See? Now some of you, it's real hard to get past some 15 minutes because you've never accustomed yourself to private worship. And when I was in Brazil, I got all those kids to stop dancing around to the fast guitars and just stand there and choose their own words. And it got quiet as a church mouse. They didn't have anything to say because they didn't know Him very well. Did not know Him. So it took me a while. See, it took me a while, but then He came. Now I can enter in real fast. And sometimes I can get lost an hour. Just telling Him how much I love Him and adore Him and glorify Him and worship Him. And the words just gush out. And then after a time in His presence of protocol, and I get to petition out. Jesus, I know You've exalted Your word above Your name. And in Psalms, the second chapter, when He said, "This is My beloved Son," He says, "Today have I begotten thee." And the very first thing Jesus asked for is the heathen. To give Him the heathen as an inheritance. So He's already prayed for your lost loved ones. He wants you to enter into agreement with Him. So I ask you to petition with one flesh, somebody close to you. Now that I've entered into His presence, that's respectful to my King. Because when my soul goes in to present a petition, every part of me is going to respect that presence. Now my petition. I'll get the name of the person I love. I'll use some good faith verse like, "What things ever I desire, when I pray, believe, and I receive it, I shall have. And what kind of heaven would heaven be without my one flesh, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. I don't intend on spending eternity without them. So this is my desire, Father. So I receive them to this degree. When I get to heaven, they will be there or they'll follow me. But they will be there." You're not a man that you can lie. Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, who am I ministering to? My own senses. I'm bringing them under subjection to the Word, but now the Holy Spirit is helping me. I'm inside. Hallelujah. You're not a man that you can lie. You said I could say to this mountain, "My desire is for them to be saved." So I want to worship You and glorify You and praise You for answered prayer. I'm calling my son saved. I want to thank You for answered prayer. Oh my God, am I glad when I get to heaven they will be there. Have I told you lately how much I love you and worship you and adore you? That you're not a man you can lie. You've exalted Your word above Your name. Therefore, my son is saved. Oh, I want to thank You
you for angels creating an atmosphere around him 24 hours a day that's conducive to salvation. Oh, you hear my prayers. And worship him. And then slide off into worship for another hour. And then come back and glorify him for the petition. You know what you're doing? You're bringing your senses under subjection to the word and talking yourself into believing what God said. Jesus. Protocol. So now, since you know what you want to petition, I'll lead you in. Unusual service for me. We'll enter into protocol and petition at least till 10 minutes till. Now only with other people do I maintain a clock. I throw it away. You enter into his presence. You don't want out. You tell you the difference between praise and worship. Praise is, I thank you, Lord, that it's done. That when you enter into worship, it turns into gratitude. That it's finished.
Now I can't see it.
That doesn't matter. You get into his presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your thank yous will turn to gratitude. Oh, my God, I want to thank you for doing that. Now, I want to encourage you. Every time your intellect gets away from you, bring it back. Gather it together and empty it into each statement. If you can't think of anything else to say, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. It's not repetition. So for 15 minutes, you and I are going to prepare ourselves for a petition. Then we're going to ask. I'll lead you. Now you may feel like you drank a little cracker juice at first. You'll be okay. Some of you have never said enough words of praise to carry it on yourself. Believe me, you'll learn. Who am I talking to? Whoever the shoe slipped on. Now, thank God for the kind of worship we entered in tonight. I mean, can you carry a band around with you? No. You're going to be caught in private worship from time to time. And let me tell you what worship does, what praise does, public. It'll provide everything for you. You don't have to do anything. The song provides the words so your intellect can hate the person next to you. The beat provides the emotions so you can get high on the emotions and not have it even be the Spirit of God. It provides everything for you. So you can just sit there and they lead you, oh, how I love, just hate somebody next to you. But I tell you what, when you enter into private worship and tell him how much you love him, hallowed be thy name, for 15 minutes, and you have to reach inside and pour yourself into those statements, you can't stay hating your neighbor next to you long because you have to participate too much. Is anybody having a good time? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start you standing. I'm going to start you standing, and so I don't care if you sit down in the midst of it. But we are going to go 15 minutes in private worship, which means you're going to reach into your inner sanctuary and you're going to pull it out and you're going to tell him how much you love him. You're not going to ask for anything. I just want you to tell him how much you love him for the next 15 minutes.
Well, what if I don't want to? Well, then nobody can make you do it.
Now, I'll be excited to hear next year what he did with your prayer. So, we're going to start by just singing one song. Just, through it maybe one time or so in worship. And then they're going to go on into their petition in private time. And you're going to go into your private time of worship for petition. That's what I meant to say. So we're going to all sing together for a minute, and then we're going to tell him how much we love him. You love him. Singular you for 15 minutes. First time we led the prayer center into it, went 15 to 30 to 45. After a while, they didn't want to stop. I'm in. I'm in. Glory to God. Are you ready? Sing. Father, I'm entering into your presence. You already know why I'm here. So, Holy Spirit, if you'd help me present every attribute of my soul. As you know what I'm going to petition, but I want you to teach me how to worship. I want to enter into your presence for the next 15 minutes just to tell you how much I love you, Jesus. Just to tell you how much I adore you, my Father God. The word hallelujah, Yah is Hebrew God. Hallah means, you know, the abundant worship and praise to Yah, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Way is to the Son. It is Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. But your Father's worthy. Jesus is worthy. I love you. You may burst into tongues once in a while, but major on your soul in presence. I love you, Jesus. Get your soul back. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I adore you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I adore you. I glorify you. I magnify your holy name. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for writing my name in heaven. I adore you. I glorify you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for saving me, Jesus. I glorify you. I magnify you. I glorify you. Come on, don't let your soul get by with it. Bring it back. Present it in the presence of a king. He's worthy of your worship. I glorify you. I adore you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I adore you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. I'd like to tell you 10,000 times. I have fallen in love with you, Jesus. I love you, 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 I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. I love you. I adore you. I glorify you. I magnify your holy name. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Holy Spirit, teach me how to offer my soul in worship. Every part of it. I love you. I worship. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy. I adore you. I glorify you. I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Father, I adore you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I adore you. I glorify you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Present your soul in worship. I love you, Jesus. You're in the presence of a king. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. Thank you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I adore you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I magnify you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. I love you. I magnify you. I extol you. I exalt you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I glorify you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit, for assisting me. Thank you for taking me into the holiest of holy. I glorify you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, I love you, I love you, I adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, adore you, I magnify you. Oh, Jesus, 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 I glorify you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I magnify you. I adore you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I magnify you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me how to offer my soul in worship, my mind, my will, my intellect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every attribute of my soul will reverence and honor the presence of my King. I worship you. I adore you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. I love you, Jesus. 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 I love you. I love you. I love you, Jesus. 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 I magnify you. I magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. 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 I love you. I love you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I magnify your holy name. I magnify your holy name. I adore you. I love you. I glorify you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Some of you are starting to enter in. You're breaking the veil. You're slipping through the flesh into His presence. You're honoring your King. You're doing Him honor that He deserves when you approach Him. I glorify every part of my conscious being, Father. I glorify. I'm pouring into every statement, everything I am. I adore you. I love you. I glorify you. I glorify you. I glorify you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I just can't glorify you. I glorify. I praise you. I bless you, Jesus. I bless you. I love you. I desire to fellowship. Teach me, Holy Spirit, how to offer myself in fellowship. I fellowship you, Jesus. I fellowship with you, Jesus. I love you. I adore you. I fellowship. I glorify you. I love you, 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 I love you. I adore you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Some of you are breaking in. You're starting to feel like you might not want to quit. Hallelujah, glory. Jesus, Jesus, oh yes, oh yes, yes, you're breaking in. The veil of flesh isn't that thick. Where you live isn't that thick. I glorify you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus. I magnify him. You don't have to yell, you don't have to do anything. Just adore him. Tell him how much you love him. I love you. It isn't how loud, it's how much you're emptying. It's how much respect you're giving him. I glorify him. I love you. Protocol, I hate no one. I hate no one. I love you. I adore you. I glorify you. Thank you for the bath you're giving me in the Holy Spirit. Protocol. Entering the presence of your King. I love you. I love you. I adore you. I glorify you. I magnify. I know some of you are not used to this, but try it privately somewhere. You'll get in. You'll get in. I adore you. Some of you know there's some things wrong. You got to straighten out now, but he'll take you. Go ahead. He'll take you. Glory, glory, glory. I magnify you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I magnify you. Come on. Go get it. Look, some of you don't want to stop now. Hallelujah. I glorify you. I love you. I adore you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every part of me is going to pay attention. When I'm entering his presence to ask him for something, every part of me is going to reverence that I am in his presence. The part of me that's asking is going to respect my King. I love you. I adore you. I love you, Jesus. 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 I love you. I adore you. I adore you. Now don't you dare stop. Now you're ready for a petition. Now you can worship him, giving thanks always in psalms and hymns and in worship for answered prayer. Because you know what his word says in heaven and in earth. You know what things every desire, if his word covers it, you can have it. You know the first prayer Jesus prayed was for the heathen as an inheritance. He wants your lost loved one. So begin to thank him for it. When I get to heaven, they'll be there. I worship you and glorify you and adore you because you're not a man that you can lie. And when I get to heaven, they'll be there. I thank you for saving my son, my daughter, my husband. I thank you. You're not a man that you can lie. Therefore, I have my petition. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. I worship you. I adore you. You don't have to yell. You see, you're going to hear me. I glorify you. I worship you. Oh, you're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word. I thank you and praise you and worship you because you've exalted your word above your name and because you have. I know that you hear my prayer and it is answered. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to worship you. I want to glorify you. I want to glorify you. I want to praise you. I know that you hear me. I know that my prayer is answered. I'd like to tell you 1,000 times how much I appreciate and worship and adore you for being a God that answers prayer, that I can approach you. I thank you that it's done. I praise you that my son is saved. I worship you and adore you and glorify you. And I'm calling him saved. Because you answer prayer, I'm calling him saved. I worship you, adore you, and glorify you. And I'm calling him saved. I worship you, adore you, and glorify you. And I'm calling him saved. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you and magnify you and worship you. I thank you for answered prayer. I'm calling him saved. I'm calling him saved. You're not a man that you can lie. I worship and adore you and glorify you and calling him saved. I'm calling him saved. Hallelujah. I'm calling him saved. I praise you and glorify you and I magnify you. I'm calling him saved. I'm calling him saved. You're not a man that you can lie. I'm calling him saved. You've exalted your word above your name. I'm calling him saved. I worship you and adore you and glorify you. I thank you with all my heart. And my son will spend eternity with me because you're not a man that you can lie. Have I told you how much I love you and adore you and glorify you? I love you, Jesus. 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 I adore you. I glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I magnify you. I thank you for answering prayer. I thank you for saving my boy. I thank you that he'll be in heaven. I thank you for creating an atmosphere conducive to his salvation with angels. I thank you, you're moving doctors to talk to my doctor son. You're moving lawyers to talk to my lawyer son. You're a race driver to talk to my race driver son. You're sending harvesters. You're surrounding him because you answer prayer and I worship you and I thank you for it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo, le miskede dalaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I glorify you. I worship you. I adore you. I love you. I magnify you. I adore you. I glorify you. Now I'm helping you. I'm helping you. If I wasn't helping you, I'd be off by myself lost. I'm just teaching you some protocol. He's a king and he's your Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Look at yourself. You're messed up. Hallelujah. I glorify you. I worship you. I adore you, Jesus. I thank you for answered prayer because you're not a man that you can lie. You're not a man that you can lie. No, sir. No, sir. You heard me. I have gratitude in my heart. And when I get there, they'll be there. Yes. They'll be there. I worship you. I adore you. Yes. You can thank him for it because he heard you. You showed him myself. I worship you and adore you and glorify you. How about it, folks? Do you like the prayer center? I worship you and adore you and glorify you, Jesus. Yes, my senses come under subjection to the Word of God by the power of the Spirit. I'm a drunk man on God's Word. Meskalasa. I worship you. I adore you. I'm not thinking like the devil anymore. I'm thinking like God. I've already crossed the line. I'm a drunk man. My senses are intoxicated with the answer. I worship you. I glorify you. I adore you, Jesus. I love you and magnify your holy name. voice kedasa. I magnify. Oh, you're lost. Well, you're lost. Well, we can't dismiss this service. You'll just have to slip out of it. Whenever you're ready, consider yourself dismissed. You'll just have to slip out of it. Doesn't matter when you do it.